Did you hear the news from the classic car world this week? There is a new record for the highest sale price for a classic car. And if you want to know what your classic car might be worth, this is the time. Call our expert, Mark Haybittle, now, 1300 222 936, or text. Put all the details in the text line, 0438 922 936. Maybe in the back of the old shed you've got a Tirana, a Valiant. What else could you have out there? What are some of those amazing cars that can be restored? Maybe you don't even know what your car's worth. Now's the time to text. Mark is here to answer all of our questions. Hello, Mark. How's it going?
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. How about yourself, Colin?
Yeah, great. Thank you. I'm dying to know, how much did that 1955 Mercedes sell for recently?
Yes, it was 249 million Australian.
No.
Which is million. 142 million American dollars.
Is that, I wouldn't have even thought that was possible to have a car worth that much money. So tell us about it.
Well, I'll just tell you that prior to that, the previous record was held by a Ferrari 250 GTO, of which there was only 39 ever built. And luckily, we did actually get to handle one of those cars, and that sold for $72 million. So that was the previous highest sale. So as you can imagine, quite a jump from 72 to 249, you know?
Unbelievable.
So the car that sold was one of only two ever built, and it was a 1955 Mercedes 300 SLR, also known as the Uhlen Alp in German, because that was the name of the engineer that basically put the design together for the two cars. And interestingly enough, these cars, both of them, and the other one is still there, belong to the actual Mercedes Museum in Germany. So they actually sold it from the museum that they have there. And they invited just 12 people to come and have a closed auction where they could do their bidding.
God, it would be great to be in that room. You'd think, who would those 12 people have been? Would it have been like Elon Musk and Bill Gates? And, you know, you sort of think, who's got that kind of money and the desire to buy that kind of car?
Yeah, believe it or not, there's quite a lot of people, because if you think about it, in this case, you've got a piece of history that is one of two. There are only two ever built, and if you've got one, you've got 50% of them, you know?
Yeah, I'm just looking on the internet right now, 1955 SLR Mercedes. Now, there's one coming up, but, you know, you never know if you've got the right image when you Google something. Is it the one with the wing doors?
Gullwing doors.
So it goes up, and they go up in the air.
Yeah, the 300 SL later became what's called the 300 SL Gullwing, but it wasn't actually known as that then. And that's, you know, because it was the very, very first version, basically. So.
It is a very, very cute looking car, I have to say. But if I had that much money, I think I'd probably rather help, build some housing for people who are homeless or do something charitable with my money than get myself a car worth that much. But nonetheless, we do want to talk about classic cars because they're a lot of fun. And let's go on to even our first text. Why don't we start out just so we often run out of time because it's so popular. But can we just go to Richard first? Richard says, "G'day, Mark. I've got a Ford BA XLS Ute, a manual V8, 22,000 Ks. I'm after an idea of its value."
Well, those BAs now are becoming rare, and like with all these wonderful cars that we play with, they're never going to be made again, so they're only going to get rarer. If it's got only 22,000 Ks on it, that is a pretty special vehicle. As you can imagine, most of those Utes probably would have 300,000 or 400,000 Ks on the clock, so with 22, it's pretty special. So that would automatically, just because of the Ks, that would automatically make it about 25, 28 grand's worth now. You know, and really, it's a Ute that really back in the day wasn't worth a huge amount of money. So, once again, that's a classic example of just how much these things jump when you buy the right vehicles.
Before we go back to talking about Mercedes, because I want to find out, you know, if they, after our, you know, chat about the most valuable car, whether there's other Mercedes that are worth selling. But this text from Wendy. Hello, Wendy. Wendy says, "I've got a 1963 Falcon manual Ute. It's not registered, but it's in reasonably good condition, except for the upholstery in the interior. It's not the original colour, though," says Wendy. "How much do you think that's worth?"
The early Falcon Utes, again, super rare now. So you really would always expect to pay $12,000 upwards for one of those.
All right, let's head back to Mercedes now. In general, is it a good car to sell? Because you sort of got these phases where nobody wants the petrol guzzler and then you get the collectibles. So, you know, where does it sit?
Oh, well, look, the collectibles really, the collectibles by default is totally regardless of the price of fuel or the price of anything, really, because it's just really for the passion of investing in a car that's rising in value. So it really, anything that's going on with, you know, the very high fuel prices that we've had, Kylie, lately doesn't really affect them at all. And really, you know, all the cars we play with, they only go one way. They only go up. So, you know, and that includes Mercedes generally. Although it has to be said with Mercedes, it's an interesting thing. There's only certain Mercedes that actually go on to be worth big money. You know, one example from the 60s would be the Pagoda, which is, it was also known as the 250 SL or the 280 SL, and they've gone on to be worth, you know, a lot of money. But it's not every Mercedes. There's an awful lot that really become worth nothing at all, you know.
And so apart from that model you just mentioned, are there any others models and years that we should keep an eye out for?
500 SLCs, which are the later ones in the 80s, the convertible, and also the 450 SL. Interestingly enough, we bought a 450 SL 3 years ago for $2,000, and we just sold it for $48,000, and we didn't do anything to it.
You didn't even restore it, nothing?
No, I didn't touch it. Just bought it for two, sold it for $48,000.
And where do you find those sorts of bargains? We all want to find those bargains. Do you think that just for the average Joe Blow, like, say, me or anyone else listening, that you could find bargains like that and then on-sell them?
Yeah, look, absolutely, you can. I mean, you know, we've had this conversation before about Gumtree. I mean, Gumtree is a great place to find these cars, but you've got to put an awful lot of time into it. And that's why people come to us and they just invest sums of money with us, because we do all the work. So we find the cars that have got great growth in them and you know, are going to double or triple in 6 months or 9 months at the very latest. But you can find these cars on Gumtree and in other places all over Australia. And lately, there's a couple of guys that we're doing restorations for with Rangeovers, and they're going right out in the bush, like way past Broken Hill, right out to the sort of middle of Australia pretty well. And they're finding old Rangeovers and Land Rovers and whatnot in paddocks and just, you know, going to talking to people down the pub in a small town in sort of far west New South Wales, and they'll get talking to someone down the pub, and someone knows someone else.
Sit down, you order yourself a beer, and you go, you know, g'day Johnny, do you know if there's any old 1970s Range Rovers in any paddocks around here?
Yeah, pretty well. Well, there's one of our clients that's restoring a Range Rover with us. His name is Ian. He's from Tyree, and or near Tyree. And that's exactly what he did. He's been out there for 3 weeks. He rang me on Wednesday to tell me what he'd found.
Really?
He found a whole load of things out there.
Gosh, well, what else did he find? Now we want to know.
Well, the Land Rovers were what he really found. He found, now, the short wheelbase Land Rovers, certainly from the 1950s, they're worth a large amount of money. And we started exporting them 2 years ago to the UK, where they're worth, you know, 40,000 to 50,000 pounds, which is $100,000.
And why are they so valuable if they're so old, from the 50s?
Yeah, good question. It's a very good question.
Right, so you're not a fan. You can't work it out either.
No, not at all. I can't figure it out at all. Like, at the end of the day, you got to call a spade a spade, Kylie. And a 1958 Land Rover with a very hard rim steering wheel and very hard suspension is a very hard ride when you go down the road. It doesn't have power steering. It doesn't have air conditioning. It doesn't have any of those things. It's just a hard thing to drive. But, you know, it's the original Land Rover. That's the key, and that's why everyone loves them. And I'll tell you, there's a big following around Australia, particularly in Tasmania, for those Land Rovers. I don't completely get it, but I worship the fact that they're around, because, you know, they do collect big money. They really do.
Now, what about the Nissan Skyline? I understand that the GTR R32, if I've got the right model, has skyrocketed in value over the past 2 years.
Yeah, look, it's just one of many, many Japanese cars that's just gone absolutely nuts. And you know, for quite a few years there, and it would probably be about 7 years. They floated around the price of $12,000 to $15,000 for about 7 years, and everyone said, oh, you know, they'll take off. They take off, and that was us included. We sort of thought they should go, they should really take off and fly. Well, they did eventually, but it took till, you know, 2021 really, or before they really took off. And now, if you look on car sales, there's about 20 on there, I think, and most of them are in the region of 100 to 150 grand. And so that means that if you bought that car 2 years ago, like we bought plenty of them, for 12, 15 grand, you know, you just made yourself, you know, 130 grand or so.
Yeah, wow, a lot of money, isn't it?
With it just parked in the corner, doing
yeah,
nothing.
Doing nothing, just sitting there in a shed. Mm. Now, I'm thinking about, you know, these really valuable classic cars. I mean, how do you keep them in the best condition? Because obviously there must be different parts of Australia less exposed to salt and different conditions that are better for keeping them than other parts. I mean, is there a, you know, a drier place away from the salty air, you know, that you find more cars?
Look, absolutely. I mean, we've always found, and going back to the Range Rovers, of which, as you know, we've got a ton of those. We've got 56 of them. And pretty well all the good ones that we've got came from the very dry inner parts of Australia. So the further you go towards the centre of Australia, that's where we got most of them from, like some of the really barren areas of South Australia, some Northern Territories, we got quite a few from there. We went literally all over Australia picking them up and just dragged them all back to Sydney. Because if you going back to what you said about the salt damage, well, if you get ones that have been on the beach or near the beach, particularly in Queensland, they're just rotten. They are just rusty as. So there's just not much you can salvage from them. Whereas if you get them from the dry inner part of Australia, you know, they're pretty damn good. And you can pull ones back from there that might be 1972 or 73 and are virtually rust-free, and they're the ones you want. That, you know, you've really got to pull back special vehicles to have special value on them. And so we go far and wide to get the ones that we need. And then you can build them into a really valuable vehicle, you know.
Don't forget, if anybody does want to get their, you know, car, when I say valued, if you want to get a bit of an idea whether you're holding on to a valuable car in your garage or if it's just a wreck and you should get rid of it, chances are you have a bit of an inkling if you've got something, or maybe your mum does, your dad does, maybe your grandpa does, or maybe you just know about one. But if you're curious about a car, tell us what it is, tell us what year it is, and ideally if you happen to know the K's. Text it now though, so we're not out of time. Be quick, 0438 922 936. So do you think, Mark Haybiddle from Supercar Secrets, are there any newer, more modern cars that you'd recommend, say, holding on to? Because they might become classics in the future.
Oh, look, absolutely. There's out of the 84 cars that we've got on our list that are booming at the moment, I would say 25 of those are cars that are only 15 years old or less. And you look at things like the Honda NSX. We're picking those up in the UK and bringing them back over to here now.
And what kind of car is that? I'm just trying to visualise that car. Is it like a sedan or what is it?
No, it's a coupe. It's a pretty sexy looking thing, and it was made famous by Ayrton Senna because he had one, because he was driving an F1 car, a McLaren at that time, with a Honda engine in it, so that made that famous.
And so what are we talking price-wise?
Well, we're picking them up for about £30,000 in the UK at the moment, and over here they're selling for about $180,000. So.
Oh, out of all of our price range, I'd say.
yeah, that's it. So moving on to things that are more affordable, I suppose. There's a lot of Nissans and Toyotas, particularly ML2s, things like that, which are all rising fast, which are not that old, you know, 15 years, maybe 20 years, but certainly right on the radar now and rising fast. And the recent Shannon's auctions in Sydney showed that there was a lot of those vehicles sold for very, a lot of the Japanese cars that are sort of under 20 years old were sold well there, you know.
Got a texter here, says, hi, there's no rust in any of these. Wow, they've got a car collection by the sound of things. A 1963 EJ Holden, standard, original, very good original condition and around 100,000 miles. Not sure of kilometres of these because I never bother looking. Oh, no, hang on, that's the first one. So what about that one? Let's start with the 1963 EJ Holden, standard, original, 100,000 Ks. Or miles,
yeah, okay.
Actually.
Yeah, if look, if it's a nice car, anywhere between 35 and 45K for one of those now. They're very rare.
A 73 VJ Charger, 318, cloned to exact standard of an E35. Excellent condition. I don't know what all that means, but you no doubt do.
Yeah, I do. I have to make a statement here that I'm not the world's best expert on the Australian cars. I mean, mainly my area of expertise is the Japanese and the European cars, only because they appeal to a worldwide population and basically the whole world loves them, whereas with the Australian cars, unfortunately, there's only a percentage of 25 million people like them. But with that Charger, I need a lot more statistics on it, kilometres, history and all that sort of stuff, but they can be worth anything up to sort of $70,000 or $80,000 for one of those, and then the six-packs are worth even more.
Yeah, well, that's quite a hefty tag, so I wonder if this texter was expecting that. What about a P76 Leyland, a V8?
Oh, I love them. I love them.
This one says, excellent condition with air in bold as brass 73. It's like another language.
Oh, look, the P76 is a fantastic car. It was Leyland's own car. It was an Australian-only car built by Leyland in this country, and it had a sensational engine, which was a 4.4-litre derived from the Rover 3.5, and it was just a great car. And they also did a special version called the Targa Florio, which have gone on to be worth 35 grand. I mean, with a P76, they're a car that, in my estimation, should be worth a lot more than they actually are, because they haven't really, they've struggled to get above $18,000 or $19,000. And really, they're such a good car that they should be worth more, but they just don't quite have the following, you know.
So how much did you say, roughly?
About 17, 18, something like that, unless it's a Targa Florio, and then it suddenly becomes 25, you know?
Okay, a 75 CK Chrysler, yellow, good original condition, a 318 engine.
Oh, I love those things. They're just a beautiful car. And they're another car, really, that actually should be worth a lot more than what they are, because, you know, big V8, they're a real smooth cruising car. Again, probably about 16, 17, that sort of order. But again, should be worth more. But again, you know, there's not a huge following for them, unfortunately. Lovely car, though.
Yeah, a 1954 Morris Minor, original, excellent condition. It says around 40 MLS, miles. I don't know, but
miles,
it must be 4,000.
Yeah.
It couldn't be 40. I think that might be a typo. But newish interior. What do you give that one?
You know what? It's interesting because that's third in a row for another car that really should be worth a lot more than what they are. And my business partner in the UK, Shirley, she's always said, look, the Morris Minors should go on and be worth an absolute fortune.
I really like them. They're very cute, aren't they?
They're very cute. And they've got that look, if you know what I mean, like that real oldie-worldie look. But they had very reliable mechanicals with the sort of A-series Austin Morris engine, and they should be worth more, but there's still quite a few of them left in circulation. So they again, you know, should be worth the other side of 20, but they're not. They're probably a good one's only worth about 15 grand at the moment. But once again, you know, a car that should be worth more, really.
When I think of a Morris Minor, I think there should be like Noddy or Bill and Ben, the flowerpot men, driving around in the car because they're so funny and almost cartoon-like, aren't they?
Look, absolutely. And funnily enough, when Shirley started mentioning it, I started calling her Big Ears and she calls me Noddy. So, so we've got the Noddy and Big Ears thing going on ahead of the hopeful rise of Morris Minors, yeah.
And do you remember, out of curiosity, Bill and Ben the Flowerpot Men, or am I just old and
really?
I'm the only person?
Flobberlob, you can't forget Flobberlob.
Yes, Flobberlob.
Flobberlob and Little Weed.
Yeah, Weed.
Little Weed.
Oh, we could have we could have a whole chat about cartoons, couldn't we? We could move on from cars to cartoons, but sadly we don't have time. But yes, we won't forget Bill and Ben.
Carly, I reckon there's a lot that could be learned from Bill and Ben. They had a good relationship, those two.
They did.
And they knew who the boss was in the garden too.
Great to have a chat, Mark, and look forward to it once again next week at 8 o'clock on ABC Radio Hobart, ABC Northern Taz. Have a great night.
Fantastic. And you, Carly. Thank you.